same jail.
So when they arrested you guys?
Yeah.
You were together in the
we're
same...
We're in the same jail.
People ask me where I get all my energy from. From the stage, to the studio, and to my desk. I am the energy god. And you can be one too.
You're listening to Adeshokpe Live, the Afrobeats podcast. Right.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Adeshokpe Live, the official Afrobeats podcast, live here in the AfriMedia Studios in London, where we break down the hottest topics within the culture. Most times, I'm joined by a superstar to have a one-on-one chat with me and break it all down. As always, if you haven't subscribed, please click the subscribe button right now. Support us. The bigger our platform gets, the better we're in position to support our own people without having to wait for others to support us. This is brought to you by the Energy God Energy Drink. Drink and stay refreshed. Be yourself. Stay energized. Go to theenergygod.com. Pick up a pack, man. Support us. This is by us, for us. So make sure you pick that up. Now, all the way from the west side of Africa, the Gold Coast, to be exact, representing the black stars all around. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a brother of mine I've been a fan and a supporter of for near a decade now. Mm. We're having our proper sit down for the first time. Give it up for my brother, Medico!
My dog.
Listen, Medico. Listen, is it AMG? Is it? What is it now? Because it looks like Medico is switching names, switching. I'm like, this is medical AMG, is it BMK, is it KB? What is the new status of medical right now? Is the name changing? Is the sauce changing? What is it?
I mean, nothing really changed. Mm. It's still medical, you get me? But obviously, it's beyond control now.
Mm.
But AMG is my father, AMG is my mother still, so I'm still a family, you get me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's my family still.
Listen. I said I've been a fan and a supporter of yourself for near enough a decade.
Mm.
I want us to talk about a decade of medical in this music business. Now, you're one of the people that represent the rap culture.
Mm.
Hard.
Mm.
Talk to me about the beginnings of that. In a community, not only in Ghana, in Africa, where singing, you know, is how people make their daily bread. Rap to us was in the movies. Mm. We ain't never seen people really, really cash out as a rapper. Yeah. So talk to me about those beginnings, the inspiration that made you feel like, listen, I can make this happen by rapping.
Mm. I mean, it all started. It started from where I grew up. I met a cousin of mine, and then he was into Lil Wayne. He was into hip hop and stuff. So he kind of sort of introduced me to, you know, hip hop in Cape Coast. You get me? So I started listening to Lil Wayne, and then I was so obsessed with Lil Wayne that I used to rewrite his lyrics. You get me? So I used to perform his songs in school and that. But at some point, I was like, but if Agofi rewrites this money lyrics, why I know if you write my lyrics? Because I also have a story to tell. You get me? I was interrupted, so I was like, let me do it for myself. Let me write something for myself and see if people are going to love it. And then I started recording demos, and my friends told me it was good. You know, I started performing it in schools, and then that's where it kickstarted from.
Cape Coast, you said. There's always this belief within the industry, within the culture, that medical basically came from a decent background, you know. It's a comfortable brother, you know. Home, it's not like we're scratching for rice or banku. It's, you know, we're talking champagne, caviar, we're talking chocolates, we're talking, you know, cushy lifestyle. But you chose the entertainment route. How did you motivate yourself, knowing that you've got a comfortable background, to say, we're still going to go through this music business where really and truly is those from the streets with nothing that usually excel?
I mean, I was from a comfortable background until the split came. I mean, a divorce came. My mom and dad, and then I had to choose a side, and it was gonna be my mom because my mom had nowhere to go, and if I leave her side, I wouldn't know how she was gonna feel or survive or live. You get me? So, you know, that'd be what to make her enter the street side, and you know, I went through a lot of things, met some few friends who put me on, and then started supporting me bit by bit, and I also, you know, met Chris Waddle on along the journey. You know,
he's the one. That's an OG right there. Do your Googles.
Yeah, so he's the one who put me on in the music business. He's like, you are talented. I'm going to make sure the world hears of you. And then I was like, okay, cool, calm. So I was patient. I was waiting. And then it did put me on. So that'd be how come I did today.
Speaking about being patient, nowadays, the young kids that get into the music business, it's a lot of impatience. Because you're looking at medical now, flashy cars, you're looking at everybody shining, you know. Now, one hit I need to just really get on. But back then, people spent years almost being a studio rat before you got the opportunity to even record a record, let alone release it officially. Talk to me about those times for you. How long was it? What kind of jobs were you doing in the studio, running around Chris Waddle and stuff? What was it like before Medical actually got his chance to be an artist?
I mean, it was crazy. It was not easy. You get me? But I knew what I was going for. I knew what I wanted. I wanted to make it. I wanted people to hear of me. I wanted my voice to be heard across the world. You get me? And I said to myself that, yo, I quit school. I avoided my dad's side, where it's all luxury and glamorous and everything. And then I decided to be on the street. So I have to make it. There's no turning back. You get me? I can't disappoint myself. I can't look like a failure in the faces of people who are telling me that, yo, we tell you to go to school. We tell you to come to your dad's side. You don't want to come. You're going to fail. I had to win. So it was a win-win situation. You get me? So that's what gave me the drive to keep going and keep pushing.
What about, like, going with your mom, walking behind? African mothers are iconic. That's, Africa is a woman, as far as we're concerned. Because the hardships, trying to provide for a family, and then being in a situation where mom is the hustler, she's the provider, and you have to be there and just make it feel like everything is okay, knowing fully well that she's still struggling. But on the other hand, you know, dad is good. Did you have moments where you thought, you know what? Nah, man, listen, dad, you need to come get me right here.
I mean, it was crazy. I remember this one time. Okay, so I was with my mom, not with my dad's side, on my father's side, and a flood came to our room, right? Our place got flooded. Everything went, like, away. Mattress, TV, clothes. So the next day, we packed everything from the room, and NADMO came to our house. NADMO be this kind of organization where when there's flood or any natural disaster, they see to it that people, like with stuff and that. And then they came and then they took pictures of us. I have the picture on my phone.
Wow.
It's old. You get me? So after when they were leaving, they were like, they're going to come back. And they never came back. And then I phoned my dad, and I told him that, yo, dad, this is the situation. He said something to me that helped me so much. You get me? And after he said that, I told my mom that, mom, I'm leaving home right now. I might not be back for a while. I don't know when I'm gonna be back. But the next time you see me, I'll be a made man. I'll be okay. I'll take care of you. I'll build a house for you. I'll buy you a car. I'll fly to wherever you want to go. And she was like, what am I saying? I was like, nah, this music thing is going to work. Like, I feel it. But I'm going to be out of town or out of the area or the house for a while. So the next time my mom saw me, it was like a year and a half. Yeah, that was when I had my first song and I started playing shows. It was bit by bit, then it becomes, but it was enough. It was okay to, like, feed home, you know, sort things out, pay the rent, sort light bills, make sure my sister is never hungry, and that. So that's where it all commenced, and I was like, nah, I'm going to aim for the higher heights, because I did tell myself that it's going to be possible, and it looks like it's possible. It's working. I just have to keep pushing and keep pushing. So that's what it is.
I'm going to touch something so very touchy now. Mm. And I think maybe because I connect a little bit to coming from a separated household, you know, and being a child who saw both parents go their separate ways and how that affected me physically, emotionally, mentally. You're going through a separation now. You've got a little one in that separation. How do you ensure that your experiences is avoided by your little one?
You see, back in the day, I know they blame my father so much now that I be old. I come understand saying things. But you see, back in the day, then we don't know the plan for we like that. Say, we want born this kiddie and take him go school and make. Then they know the plan for we.
It's just they go.
If he have a mistake, then we come. we come the world. You get me? So I don't blame them that much. But you see, right now, with the parting things, when you deal with somebody and you know, say, you love them, you they make plans, say, yo, by this time, before half baby, before put the baby through nursery, at some point, maybe you fly the baby, go to school, and that. There's a plan, there's a system. So because of the experience I also have now, I know, say, there's no way anything is going to affect my child. Because my child is not a problem. She's my, you understand me? Like, she's good for life. Nothing is going to affect her. But my dad's time, I know they blame him too much because that, that's my era and them. When I era, it'd be different. Yeah. You know, me have a mistake, I did it where I happened. Yeah, me, my mom told me, when they gave birth to me, my dad was like, no, he's not away. He just saw my mom once at some food night. And I said, what are you talking about? And I came. Mysteriously, mistakenly.
Our moms also, they tell us some stories, man. Yo, mom, you need to chill, man. They tell us some stories.
Now, but it's real shit, though, because my dad said the same thing to me. My dad was like, yeah, it's true. Like, that's how it happened. I was like, wow, okay, that's crazy. And I don't blame them. You know, that's that era, it was different.
Facts.
That time,
facts.
So I know she was sitting and posted on two aunties. You know,
that shit. Medical live on the Afrobeat podcast. Now, I want to move away from that, talk on something as well. You've always been in public relationships.
That's crazy.
Is that something by choice or you just ran with it?
I sure say, Shopsy, if like I did work for hospital, I sure say like my girlfriend would be nurse.
You like someone within the industry.
And that's how it happens. I don't know, but mysteriously, that's how it always happens. Like, you know, we say I they select, I they go look for people that be popular. But my work, you know, my field of work, you know, these be the people I they work with. So then they understand me more because we are in the same area or we be the same caliber of people.
Yeah.
You get me? But sometimes I feel like when the person be out of your job, you know, they understand your work like that. You know, they understand why you forgo studio and come back the next day. Or, you know, they understand why you forgo some village or travel to London to come have a show and maybe not come with her at some point. Yeah. You get me? Because they say, I'm saying, if you travel, but could go back. Maybe you know, they say, I'm saying, be work with you, they come do. You get me?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Someone who is in the industry go understand. So maybe that be me to my own. Yeah.
But what are, so do you think it's still something that you're going to step into again? You've had public relationships in the past that's gone through your marriage. Would you like to make your personal life public again, knowing fully well how intrusive the media, particularly in Ghana, can be once they know certain things?
I mean, my next relationship is not, is obviously not going to be like me putting it out like to people in my faces. But you see, the thing with me be say, when I they love somebody, I know if you control myself. You get me? So I won't, you know, I won't pepper there. I won't let them see, yo,
I, mean, I, nice,
I
yeah.
love you, my girl, fine, die. That's what it is. That's why people get married. People get married to outdoor the whole thing and let people see that, oh, they are together. So that's what it is with me. Like, I like to, you know, show my woman and that. But I'm not sure it will be like that in my, like, in my next relationship or anything. It's not going to be all over, like, online, people's faces and that. It will be natural things, natural chilling, spending a quality time with a person. If someone happens to see us together, whether the person be popular or not be popular, it be the person in problem. But it's not going to be in the faces of people like that.
Speaking about relationships, you've got a very public relationship with your brother. Shatta Wale. Pa.
Stubborn.
You guys been through it all. The friendship strong. Mm. The streets saying Shatta's going to be in town for the show. Talk to me about that brotherhood. Mm. That's like two incredible characters where a lot of times people would think maybe your personalities might even clash. But you guys is like bread and butter. Everything flowing. Talk to me about that friendship, that brotherhood. How did it become this strong?
I was cool with I've been cool with Shatta for like almost 8 years now.
Wow.
The first time he did the song for me was 8 years ago. That's how like I started talking to him, but we weren't that close. But obviously we became close because we went to jail together. We're in the same jail.
So when they arrested you guys?
Yeah.
You were together in the
same jail. His cell was opposite mine, literally.
No way.
So when they opened, we did sit when I sell him off, and then we did talk, we did discuss things. So it'd be because of the jail we go to, where we bond for there.
Mm.
That'd be why as we come out from jail, we've been very close and we've been sharing ideas, talking, doing business together and for a while now.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting brother.
Mm.
You know, his chatter, he doesn't hold his tongue publicly.
Mm.
Even though you don't hold your tongue too, but you're not as vocal as Shatta is. What are your thoughts about, you know, if you feel a certain way about the industry, about musicians in Ghana, about how things are going on, saying that the way he does? Do you think that helps the industry, or does it affect relationships within your industry? Because it's kind of small.
I know. I understand, but you see, sometimes he's very right because there are certain things going on in our country. Let me talk for Ghana because that's where I'm from.
Facts.
You get me? And you see, sometimes people don't understand the message when you are too calm with it. You get me? You remember the time Jesus came from, I think, work or vacation, and when he got to the church,
people were selling.
You see how he wasn't like, oh, please leave. He started flogging them. You get me? And then people knew that he was vexed.
You get me?
Sometimes you have to go that way to let people understand you. And you see the music business, it'd be like, I'd sell Energy God, right? Then somebody will come online. Yo, this is so fake. Don't drink it. Pour it. Look, it's going to shrink your throat. It's going to... That's literally like the work we are doing. That's like someone going to say, yo, Medical is a fake artist. He's not real. He's faking the stream. He's not playing shows. Don't pay attention. You are taking the food out of my mouth. That's what the business is. But people don't see it that way because we are people. But at the end of the day, are they like iPhone? Somebody today like Android. Somebody like iPhone. Somebody like Android. No, come take your Android, spoil my iPhone. Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes you have to be vocal because we are human beings.
I remember, I think it was you who at a point pull up your iTunes receipts or something and showed the media in Ghana to say, listen, this month I've just cashed out over $20,000. How did he get to that where you felt like you had to show the world that, listen, I'm actually making money?
Yeah, you see, because of the lifestyle I live,
people
think maybe there's another source, like there's a way I get some magical fast money from somewhere. So sometimes I want me to understand and say, me, I just signed a deal where I collect $120,000 for Boom Play. So what are you people talking about? So if you see, say, I drive Range Rover fresh, or I buy some house, or I play some show, I collect maybe $50,000, not $70,000, it'd be normal. You understand me? The way you dress is the way you be addressed. If you sell yourself for 10 CD, then go buy you for 10 CD. Me, I don't sell myself for cheap. You get me? Because I believe in myself and I know that my message has been very impactful towards the society. So whenever I'm going on stage or I'm going somewhere to perform, they don't see me just like, oh, an artist, Medical to the car. They see me like, yo, this guy, he motivates me. I don't be one of them artists where I feel wait, get hit song before I get booked for shows.
Facts.
Me, I drop songs every day. Today,
so
I drop
songs
every day because I do reality music. That's what I call it. Anything you hear from my song, it be real. I won't make you understand, say you go feel make them. I've been through hell. But right now, everything is good. And I want people to understand that you can also achieve a lot if you believe in yourself. That's what I'm preaching. I'm not in any competition with no one.
You didn't feel him. Now, you know, looking at your catalog, man, you know, you've got collaborations with a lot of your brothers from Nigeria, you know, all sorts of names on there. And even in Ghana, collaborations are plenty. Different artists. Now, one of the major topics over the last couple of years, particularly with musicians coming from Ghana, and that popped up again, I think, about a week ago or something, when Sarkodie had performed in Nigeria, and some crazy Twitter people was like, oh, the reception was not the way it's supposed to be, this, that, and third. It brings back the general conversation that maybe Ghanaian artists don't attack the Nigerian media market as they should. You know, what are your thoughts about actively, physically promoting your music in Nigeria? It's only 45 minutes away.
I know, but you see Nigeria, yeah? It's like this, let's see, this is Nigeria, right?
Yes.
This is Nigeria. They've locked themselves in.
Yes.
They've locked themselves in like
yes.
this. Yep. You get me? You can come say hello and you go away. Hmm. But Ghana is like this.
It's always open.
It's open. Like Vienna, Ashau. You get me? They there. And sometimes when our people, Ghana be country where when you get matter with somebody with a foreigner, they will feel lucky that Ghanaian leave the foreigner. That be how we do. We are too patriotic to foreigners. We love foreigners past one ourselves. It's not a bad thing, but it affects business, like when our entertainment, like our music. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So maybe the next generation, it will feel happy and say, okay, right now, Nigeria, Africa, yeah, the music, they circulate. But if you go someplace like Kozo, you go hear Afrobeat pass, boy.
But now I was in Ghana 2 weeks ago, and my piano is the number one genre in Ghana. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. I was stunned.
You get what I'm saying?
I physically walked to the DJ. You can imagine in Ghana to say, "Yo, bro, I appreciate you. I like what you're doing.
Let me give
you. I need some Ghanaian music because I'm here for about 5 days. I want to hear what the locals are hearing."
Let me give you an advice. Don't even stress yourself again.
Are you for real?
I'm telling you. The moment you do that, okay, they'll play some.
Guess
you
what? The DJ told me point blank that that's his vibe. That he can't change.
Yeah.
I was stunned. I said, I'm your guest in this venue.
Yeah.
I want to know what your people listening to. The guy said, no. I said, wrong.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I want to talk. But you see the stuff with the Nigerian stuff. I disagree because if you look at the early 2000s, Nigeria don't play with TikTok. We don't play with VIP. We don't play with Castro. Rough and smooth with crazy.
I understand. But
don't touch Tiffany.
I understand. But that's why I said. Now, this be how it did for Nigeria.
Yeah, but you got to go. You have to go.
When you go to Nigeria. I was in Nigeria a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I stayed at Echo Hotel.
Yeah.
You know Echo, right?
Yes, yes.
I went to the bar area.
Yeah.
I was there for like almost 2 hours,
yes.
Right? They played Nigerian music 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so this era, them lock themselves in.
Yeah, yeah.
And as it should be,
I'm
not saying they don't play foreigners music
or they don't play
Ghana music at all. They do sometimes.
Yeah.
But then they put themselves first.
Facts.
As it should be.
Facts.
Now, that be how it did. Maybe
facts.
The next, that's what I said earlier, I said, maybe the next era or next generation we will come, understand, and, you know, everybody go they play, go they mix, in, even for Ghana. So
December, when I touched down, the conversation about play Ghana was crazy.
Yeah.
A couple people stood up. And I agreed with that conversation where they wanted more Ghanaian music, local content celebrated, particularly in December and Easter when everybody was traveling from all over the world to come and celebrate in Ghana.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that not that many musicians added their voices to that. Why?
So you see, it was a very good initiative, right? But I didn't get the news. I didn't get a message that, yo, we are assembling like Avengers to go talk for our industry.
Yeah.
If I did, trust me, I'd be one of the first people to be there. You get me? I didn't get it. But when I saw it, I was like, this is a good move. You get me? But you see, it takes like a whole, you know.
It's a mindset.
To comprehend. Like, it's so deep. One person will fit change this thing. Like, it can't make like it be cursed. You understand? It'd be like some miracle for happen. That's what I said. Maybe the next generation or the next era, then go make those things possible and then go understand more because of maybe at any BA level, no be do akono.
What's that? Break that down. Break that down.
You see, as time they go, things they change.
Evolution.
They experience saying things, and then maybe the minds of the new generation could be very open to saying things and know that, yo, this is your country. This is where you're from. Facts. You need to play your music. Love yourself.
Facts.
Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, not more than yourself.
There's something that you just did there that only happens in Ghana. Mm. And first of all, I want to applaud Ghanaians for that, where the local language is like, we can be speaking English for like 20 minutes and all of a sudden, bam, you switch and ain't nobody going to complain. Everybody's on it.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? Like, so the local language is still national language.
Of course.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
But in other countries, especially places like Nigeria, you know, English, it is, you know, because maybe because we also have all sorts of tribes and stuff, but talk to me about that pride and the confidence when you're on national television conducting an English interview and in 2 seconds you switch to the local. Where does that come from? What is, you know, how do you feel comfortable doing that? Because it's natural.
That'd be where I'm from Ghana. Definitely the language being instilled in me, you get me? But even me, the time I go to school, if you speak 3-4 class, they will write your name beat you.
Say when they speak vernacular.
You know that one. Our own country.
Taking a fist.
Yo, you get me? But you see, we outlived all those things and we are proud to, you know, speak our language wherever we go. And I feel like they should put a stop to that, Charlie, because tree is so sexy. This one time I went to Germany and there was a receptionist, right? So the promoters were talking to the receptionist. They were speaking English, but the receptionist kept speaking Dutch, German, right? And then they weren't understanding what she was saying. So I can speak German. I learned how to speak German.
Wow. In school?
School, read books and stuff.
Wow.
So I went to her and I started talking to her and I was like, yo, we are from Italy. We just finished our show there. We have a room here, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, what's the name under? And I showed her. And after she was done, I was like, I said thank you in their language. And then now she started speaking English to me. And I was like, so if you can speak English, why were you doing them and them long? Like, you get me? And she was like, no, it's their law that they should speak their language. And I was like, wow. My country, if you speak your language, they will beat you. They will beat you, kill you.
Well, fast forward to 2024. You know, you've been in the industry for quite some time. You've dropped albums, collaborated with everybody in Ghana, like Kwesi, Stoneboy, you know, Kwame, King Promise, Shatta Wale. The list goes on. Nigeria Files, you know, Malik Berry, this one, that one, the list goes on. But this is your first time having a headline show in the United Kingdom. Why did it take so long?
I don't know, Chelsea, but I feel like everything is God's plan. You get me?
Facts.
You remember when we first met?
Yep.
You were already playing my songs before I even came to London. Facts. For my first, you know,
facts,
show or appearance and that. You get me? It could have been around that time.
Yes.
But you see, I like things to happen on its own way. You get me? I don't like to force things. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like, okay, I have so many songs, so this is the time I have to do it. No, it came naturally. You get me? Kofi told me, I had a conversation with Kofi. So, okay, so when I came to London last year, I was supposed to perform a party in a park, but the show no come on. So I was like, and London too, I don't really, really perform for you. And Kofi was like, yo, let's do the O2. Like, let's do the O2. And he was, the conversations have been, the Brixton one.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, calm, we can do that. But later, I spoke to Kofi and he was like, they booked the Indigo. I was like, hey, you guys, which kind of pressure be this? You get me? And he was like, nah.
Yo, we gonna do it.
He was like, nah, we can do it. And shouts to my big sister. She doesn't like it when I mention her name.
But trust me, she doesn't even take pictures.
I know, but she made this happen. You get me? And my big boss, Mr. Frimpong Bobby, he's also, you know, supporting us a lot. You get me? So I just feel like everything be timing.
Facts.
Sometimes when you rush that thing, you go crush them. So if you make a day on its own and happen naturally.
What are some of the names that people should expect to pop up at the medical show, at the Indigo 2 in London?
I mean, all the brethren, they come. Heady, they come. Jeez. Kojo fans, they come. Jeez. NSG, they come.
Come on.
Shatta, they come. Sack, they come. Their names be plenty. So, their plans, the team will say, anybody me that get you.
For one ticket to see medical, I'm going to get Shatta, Sack, Kwesi. I'm going to get NSG. You're going to get Kojo Fons. Effia.
It's a whole lot of gang shit. Effia is coming. She's flying out tomorrow, Seth.
No way.
Yeah. So, it will be dope. It will be a very memorable night.
The flag's going to be flown high.
Hard.
That day.
Wicked.
Now, you're in December. I told you this when I had a conversation with you. The show that you had in December, you had an incredible, incredible entrance, which was the, what's it called, GTA game series.
Yeah, it was hard.
That, I'm saying this here, like, that's the first time I've ever seen something like that. Ever in the world. Like, I've never seen somebody reenact that live on stage doing a performance ever before. One, who came up with the idea? How did you believe that it was going to work the way it did? And the last question is, what is London going to get?
I mean, so the GTA vibe, I like games a lot. I can be on my PlayStation all day. That's all I do. I hardly go to clubs and that. I'm always indoors. So I can play the game for like 24 hours in my room. And I like GTA and I like football. But the GTA thing, there's this guy in Ghana called Great Hour. He's a dancer, but he merges the dance with that GTA theme. So he spoke to me and he was like, want us to create something. But it was for normal social media. It wasn't for the show. So we did some GTA moves and we put it online. And then I thought of it and I was like, rah, we can do something like this on stage for the fans of GTA. You get me? For it's something crazy. Different. And then it worked.
Crazy.
Yeah, it worked.
It looks so dope, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
So London, what we getting? If you do GTA moves in Ghana... Listen, come on, man. What are we going to get
here? I mean, you see the way I don't inform anybody here. I didn't do the GTA. I know if you spill the beans right now. You need to come get it served hot. Yeah.
Well, London usually signifies a huge door opening into other dimensions for African artists. Yours is a different level, you know. We've had... Sarkodie, because he's a rapper. You're a rapper. What are your aspirations coming off of this show in terms of the medical brand and medical music to the rest of the world?
You see, I just want my story and my voice to be heard across the world. That's it. I'm not trying to bring any change or anything. Obviously, I'm lifting the flag of my country high. But I just want my story to be heard. And I want people, especially rappers, to believe that they can also make it. You get me? Because a lot of people, they think, say, right now, if you know you do Afrobeat or some fast tempo track and all, you know, go feel blow. But rap still, they alive. Rap is still alive because of people like me. You get me? So I'm standing for the youth. I'm standing for rappers. I'm standing for music lovers. I just want to let you know it's possible. You can do it. Just go for it. When you're at the edge of the cliff and you feel too scared to jump, that's when you should jump. Go.
Jeez.
Go for it. Yeah.
And finally, what can people expect after the show? I'm not even talking on the day of the show now because what's next for medical now? Because this has to be a setup for something else. Mm. What is that? Is that an album, a project? What are we looking to achieve?
I mean, there's so many things in the pipeline that that will be, you know, will be in the limelight. We'll put it out. You know, I just want to let people know that, you see, so many people have doubts in, like, some of the artists. You get me? Some people, they feel, say, because of some brand or maybe the way the artist did and all, they are saying things where, you know, will be possible. But I want to make people understand, say, yo, I'm myself. You get me? This world, if you be yourself, that's when you go far.
Jeez.
If you are yourself, that be when you go far. You get me? You go feed day in a race, yeah, with a tortoise, an antelope, a rat, giraffe, everybody. You get me? No matter how you run, you go tire at some point.
Facts.
But when the energy day and you are focused and you keep going in a pace where you know be forced and you are comfortable with, if you are meant to win, you win. That's it. So just be yourself wherever you find yourself and keep going.
There's so much going on with Afrobeats at the moment. People saying they ain't doing Afrobeats. Some people saying they're doing Afrobeats, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts about, you know, Afrobeats in general? And what are your thoughts about what's being said and how people feel about the genre? Mm. And looking from your point of view, being a rapper, saying, hey, we here too.
Mm.
What are your thoughts about all these things?
I mean, it be music, depending on how, you see, each and every artist, it do a, people, they forget, say, we deal on our own world when we they create music.
Facts.
You get me? We know they follow somebody in pattern, create on our music. You get me? So sometimes, where you, if you, right now, yesterday or today, I tweeted that me, I make reality music. You get me? Because that's how I feel like.
Facts.
You get me? I'm spending some real shit. So
facts.
Obviously, it be reality bars where you they hear. So maybe sometimes the artist to go there in the world,
zone,
smoke some ibo there in the world, and she say, hey, Charlie, they were high. Just she say, right now they do selling Dion music. Let us be, Charlie. Allow us, free us, Charlie. It's not easy.
Who are some of the guys that we should start looking for or looking at coming next from Ghana that perhaps the world hasn't heard yet?
Yo, there are so many good new artists with a very good with them from Ghana. This guy, Slim Kid.
Mm.
There's this guy called Slim Kid. He's very dope. There are so many guys. Some of them, I see him from online, but I know they see. There's this guy too, Kwesia Ameuga.
Mm.
He's very good. And there's this rapper. He's been around for a while, but he dropped an album, and the album is very dope. His name is Kweku Smoke.
Kweku Smoke. I saw people moving and shaking when I was there.
Yeah,
I
heard. He's really dope.
His new album is deep. Album is cool.
I mean, there are a couple of people holding the rap culture down, like Strongman, you know, and Eno. You know Eno, right?
No.
Eno Baroni. She's the dopest female rapper in Ghana.
No way.
She's so dope. Like, she raps better than, you know, some of the male rappers.
I need to check her out.
Eno raps better than Strongman.
Is he Strongman your friend?
Sometimes.
So basically, you're firing shots.
Oh, not really. I mean, I'm just
saying how you feel.
Yeah, right now. Maybe if you come out for another, my mind will change. I'll be like, why did I say that? But I feel like, you know, I'm just trying to say she's very dope.
She's dope.
Yeah, she's dope.
Listen, my brother, as always, I've been a fan of yours from day one. I just like your music. I like your energy.
Mm.
I like how you move. I'm excited to see what's coming up next. I'm excited to see the show. Go get your tickets if you haven't already. Medical Live at the Indigo 2 with an array of special guest superstars flying from around the world.
Mm.
It's going to be a celebration of African music, a celebration of rap, hip-hop from Ghana, a celebration of everything within our culture. And I know that your entrance is going to be ridiculous as well. I've got my cameras locked on. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for my brother, Medical!
Chopsy, my brother for life.